before he faced the arrest and trial and torture and death. So this morning, Paul and I want to speak to you about an enormously important word, peace. And I think it's on everybody's hearts these days, is where is peace? What can this mean to us as human beings, nations, and Christians? So where is peace for our nations, for our homes, most of all for our hearts and minds? What about the sufferings in Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, Lebanon? And if you read your papers or you watch the news, even more countries, many more countries than that. How do we find peace when so much threatens us? This desperate cry has been heard through the ages. Is it also the cry of your heart? People are weary and worried. Without a doubt, there is more so than perhaps for a long time, there is a need for direction and counsel, security and confidence. We need and we want peace of mind. What a treasure that is. So can this treasure be found in a world of so much conflict and despair, turmoil and trouble? The great search is on. Many people are seeking peace in fame and fortune, in pleasure and power, in education and knowledge, in human relationships and in marriage. Their desires to fill their hearts with knowledge and their purses with wealth, but their souls remain empty. Others are seeking to escape the realities of life with drugs or alcohol, but the peace they seek eludes them. They are still empty and lonely in a troubled world with a troubled mind. We can read in the first chapters of Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, that God created man and woman and placed them in a beautiful garden to enjoy perfect peace, joy, and happiness. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, they were at once struck with guilt. Where before they had longed for the presence of God, now they hid themselves with shame. Guilt and fear replaced the peace and happiness they had known. So although our souls long for God, our sinful nature rebels at his ways. And this inner struggle causes tension and distress when we, like Adam and Eve, are self-centered in our desires and ambitions. We become anxious and fretful. The more we focus on ourselves, the more troubled we become. The uncertainties of life and the changing, decaying world shake our security and disturb our peace. So many people search among outward and material things to find peace. They blame the troubled world for their troubled mind, but fail to look within their own heart. There can be no peace until all aspects of life are brought into harmony with the Creator who made us and understands us. And this is only possible by complete surrender to Christ. He's not only master of the world, but knows our life from the beginning to the end. Jesus offers light for darkness, peace for strife, joy for sorrow, hope for despair, and life for death. He says, as Georgina read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Jesus invites you to this most meaningful, life-changing experience. Remember, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you accept his invitation? When you come to Jesus, you find forgiveness and freedom. Instead of resentment and unforgiveness, your heart is filled with love and mercy. So with Jesus reigning in your heart, you will love your enemies. As a Christian, faith in God and trust in his care is the antidote for fear and anxiety. How restful it is to trust in an unchanging God who is from everlasting to everlasting the same. He loves us. He will always care for us. So why worry and fret? Follow these instructions, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Again, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. with Jesus Christ in your heart, your personal search for peace is over. He will give peace and a calm that comes only from trusting him. So we have shalom. There's different sorts of peace. Obviously, freedom from war, what a person feels like when the sun is out and they have little to do. But the third type of peace is the one that God promised. In the Jewish language, as we saw at the video, shalom, not dependent on freedom from war, pain, and other life issues. God promises us peace even when the world appears to be falling down around us. As the Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to be content when I have lots and when I have little. I don't know what the greater challenge is there, but he had found the secret that we too can know in our lives. Next slide, please, Elizabeth. Thank you. So true peace comes from knowing that God is in control. The disciples knew that peace, even though their master was about to disappear from their sight. As we said, Paul knew that peace, even though he faced death many times in his life and was often sick, homeless, and worried for his life. True peace comes from knowing that God is in control. Next slide, please. So as we've heard read, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That means that we have control of our hearts. We can live in a state of fear and anxiety, or we can live in a state of peace, knowing that God is in control. Yes, there'll be concerns. Yes, there'll be worries from time to time, but deep down inside, we are rooted in Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. Jesus was emphatic that the peace he gave for his believers to experience was far greater than anything the world could offer. He could encourage his followers not to be fearful and worried. And we see in 2024 that so many people, young and old, I've heard of 7, 8-year-olds struggling with depression and anxiety. So many struggling now with fears and suicidal tendencies. But through it all, his words can bring life and hope. He doesn't say to focus on the positives and ignore the negatives. He doesn't say to get rid of those friends who are struggling. He tells us that we do not need to fear anymore, because he, the Almighty God, is by our side, and he will bring victory. So I stand here today to proclaim God's peace, not because it's a nice concept, a great ideal, but because it is real. And by the grace of God, I and many here today have experienced it. Next slide, please. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So we have this choice, whether we let ourselves be overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, or whether we embrace God. We can remain paralyzed by fear for the rest of our lives, like my nan that I've told you about before, or we can embrace these words of Jesus and know his reassurance and healing. Next slide, please. I have told you these things. This is Jesus again, last words, last time that he spent with the disciples. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus does not say you won't have trouble in this life. No matter where we have come from, no matter what obstacles are strewn across your path, we, you and I, can trust him with our lives. Second part to follow after the song. So we're going to sing now that song, that My Peace I Give Unto You.
Thank you. It's the peace that the world cannot give. It's the peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy the world cannot understand. Joy to know, peace to give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live. My love I give unto you.
Come to this place, joining together to hear what you would speak to each individual heart in Jesus' name. Dan, we seem to be all right on this one, so let's go with that. I just want to give you some of the background to the society as it was in those biblical times, because it's easy to look round and sort of picture us each meeting together in the early church. We wouldn't be wearing trainers, we'd be wearing, you know, leather sandals or nothing at all. And it's really important that we get the idea as to what Jesus was saying. My peace I give unto you. But it's also important that we get the idea of how different the people might have been in the churches at that time. And I want to take you to Titus, because it perhaps helps if we see what the scripture says. Remind people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, considerate, and to show humility towards all men. Become good citizens, and we can all raise a thumb to that. But at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. These were new and radical thoughts. And I just want to say to you that it's a very common thought these days that if the man in the street is asked, do you think you're going to go to heaven after you die? He'd say, well, I hope so. I've been pretty good. I haven't really become a thief during my life. I've tried to do this. I've tried to earn my place, and God owes it to me. So it must be right But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God shows us his mercy, his undeserved favor. And that's what having the peace from God means. We can go into some of the churches from the New Testament. I want to go into Ephesians and see what it is said there. And Ephesians 2 and 14. He himself is our peace, that is Jesus, who has made both Jews and Greeks and non-Jews. He has destroyed the hostility between them. The churches were all mixed up. People had different theological backgrounds. We're a bit the same here, aren't we, Enid? You have an Anglican background, and there are some things that you prefer and others that you don't. And some of us are dyed-in-the-wool nonconformists, and we wouldn't survive 2 Sundays in some of the churches that we've come across. But it's not so much your background, it's not so much your preferences. It's whether you know that God has spoken to you personally, not on account of who you are, not on account of what you've done, not on account of what you might hope for, but on account of his great mercy. We are loved by a God who wants us to act differently from just the hopes of our own ideas. We want to be assured. And, you know, we use words, we drag them out of the scriptures. Are we talking about peace? Are we talking about mercy? Are we talking about love? Are we talking about assurance? We're talking about all of them, a whole big handful of what God has for each one of us. He doesn't want us to have some thin salvation which is only good for an hour on a Sunday, and don't keep me 5 minutes longer because I've got other things to do, and don't expect me to look into my scriptures or have any fellowship in the week because I'm too busy. God wants us to soak ourselves in his assurance. He wants us to be complete. Can you remember from the video presentation, we all think about Marshall and his sheep, don't we? And what mayhem ensues when those sheep escape. We want peace to reflect completeness, not only of the field fences, and but in our own hearts and minds. We want to know that God is for us. And it's not so much how committed we are to God and what we do within the church. It's how committed he is to us. And our shortcomings and our failings and our weaknesses, God loves us in the midst of all of them. And as we have read, he is our peace. I want to take you again to Colossians, another of those lovely churches that we enjoy reading about, and I'm going to go to verse 19 in the first chapter. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. It's our minds that are the trouble, isn't it? The health service is wonderful, but you know, it's being overwhelmed. It's drowning in mind troubles at the moment. And whatever pledges the government makes, however much they decide to sort them out and sack all the managers and let the doctors run it, it's still overwhelmed. People come. Everybody's got a diagnosis now. How many children within each year group have got a diagnosis? The diagnoses didn't exist, it seems, when most of our age group were at school. But now you can have an extra 20 minutes on your exams if you're dyslexic and if you're dyspraxic, and you can manage not to get in without bruising your hip against something because you're awkward and this and that. And you know, there are youngsters who can't cope with being at school, and then it translates into the adult world, and everybody's got a diagnosis. So very few of us are living the best lives we could live, and that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be complete by knowing not just the peace of God, which is all wonderful, but oh, peace from God, which has spoken to your individual needs and your individual concerns. God wants us to know. And again, in Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by God's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And this is the gospel that you had and that has been proclaimed to every creature in heaven, under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So God wants to take each one of us, take us from our own thinking, where we're masters of our own destiny, and believe me, it doesn't end well, to receiving his peace, to knowing that in the midst of conflict, in the midst of pain, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of everything seeming to go wrong, we still know the peace of God. And that peace within us builds a strong foundation for us to go forward, believing that this world is just part of our journey, but that our destination is heaven's glory in the nearer presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God speak that to your heart loud and strong as we look at these Advent calendars and remember that today's, these Advent candles, remember that today's candle speaks of peace. Amen. Amen. And so we